My name's Scott Forbes. I worked and still work for a financial institution who were housed in the World Trade Center, Tower 2, South Tower. We were on floors 90 and 94 to 97 on the South Tower, and consequently the company I work for lost a lot of people on that day. We lost 89 employees, plus a number of other contract staff who worked on our floors.
You weren't there on the day. How did you manage to escape what happened on September the 11th?
I had the day off work, a day off in lieu, as I'd worked the previous weekend. That was Saturday the 8th, Sunday the 9th. Occasionally, working in technology, occasionally I was asked to work weekends, and so we would have a day off in lieu for that effort. And so my day off was on Tuesday the 11th, which is why I was not there. The reason I was working on the 8th and 9th was because of a power down condition in the South Tower. We were given approximately 3 weeks notice by the Port Authority that there would be no power in the top half of the tower. And as our data center was on the 97th floor, and this was for a global institution, it meant we had to switch off all our systems. In the time I'd been in the company, we'd not gone through that operation before, and we certainly didn't plan for that operation. So to go through the process of shutting down all of our systems one by one was an enormous exercise, taking many hours. It wasn't a question of just turning off a switch. We had to shut down applications, we had to shut down networks, physically shut down servers, shut down databases, which is the work I do. So the operation involved was pretty massive, and the planning involved was very rigorous. And it wasn't just myself working that weekend, there were many others, probably about 30 people working that weekend on the shutdown exercise. And after the work, so-called work, was completed, the restart of all the systems. And in fact, we didn't finish on the weekend. On the Monday evening, the 10th, we still had some systems not fully operational.
So what days were the actual power down happening, and what reason was given?
The reason that was given was that there was a recabling exercise. It was as general as that. The days of the power down were Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th of September. The shutdown started around noon on Saturday the 8th, and we were bringing up the systems from around 2, 3pm on Sunday the 9th. So the period was about 24 hours.
So how did that whole operation go from your company's point of view? Was it all successful? Did you manage to bring everything down, and then the power went down, and then you brought everything up fine afterwards?
Apart from these one or two systems that we were having issues with, everything else went fairly smoothly. On the Monday evening, I was in the office till around 7 that night with several other people trying to sort out the systems that we're having issues with on the Monday night. But apart from those, the shutdown and the startup went like clockwork, fairly standard, you know, didn't make us think too much. It was just unusual to have the power down and to have no power. And just to point out one thing, we had a generator in the data center, part of our legal compliance, being a financial institution in the state of New York, was that we had to have a backup power supply. But it was considered whether we could live on that without having to shut down, and it was decided no, we shouldn't, that for safety we should shut everything down.
Isn't that sort of thing quite normal? You would have to be prepared for a power cut, surely?
If there was a power cut, the generator would kick in normal circumstances. And I don't know the full details, but I think the generator was equipped to last probably about 12 hours, which would deal with most power cut conditions. So if there was a shock power cut, sure, the generator would kick in, no systems would go down. As the power was being removed from the building, and there was a recabling exercise going on, we considered it a little bit more dangerous and unusual, and therefore we decided to shut everything down, just in case the period did extend longer than a 12-hour period.
Now, if there are recabling exercises going on, you would expect, I would imagine, you would expect there to be quite a lot of activity in the building, or the people doing the recabling.
When I was there, I did see people from outside agencies. We didn't pay special attention to these guys. We just thought they were engineers or builders or maintenance staff. There were people around, but we didn't pay any particular attention to them. All I can say is that there was unusual activity. There were men in uniforms, like overalls, carrying toolboxes, and there was lots of cabling around and so on. But, you know, at the time, we didn't pay special attention to them, frankly.
So there was obviously something actually going on where there was workmen that wouldn't normally be there. Maybe you could just take us through, describe people that you saw.
Sure. Going into the towers from the ground floor, employees had security badges in order to pass through gates to reach the elevators. Once you were in the elevator, it was just push button. To gain access into our offices, we then had a separate security badge to gain access into our offices. So all of that was in operation going in on the Saturday to do the power down. From the ground floor, it was clear that there was activity, there were people around beyond the normal. The ground floor elevator took us to the lobby at 78. And on the 78th floor lobby, again, there was unusual activity. There were people around and cabling and boxes, toolboxes. Then from there, I took the elevator up to the 97th floor, and I didn't see any activity on our floor, frankly. I remember it on the lobby areas.
Okay, so can you just describe these people? What did they look like? I mean, did they have any sort of like big company logo or anything like that on their jackets as they're working?
I can't remember specific details about individuals. You know, I can't describe you individual guys. And I can't remember any logos at all. I've been asked whether I saw any vehicles outside. I can't remember seeing any vehicles. I just remember guys in, like, blue and grey overalls, like workmen. That's all I can describe.
And roughly how many? Have you any idea? I mean, you probably have only seen a few at the bottom and in the lobbies, but, you know, roughly how many people did you see?
I would have said three or four down in the ground floor lobby, three or four on the 78th floor lobby as well.
So there was definitely activity going on. Your own experience being in New York, actually on September the 11th, how did you, I mean, you must imagine you know, it was a bigger surprise to you as everybody else that day to realise, well, crikey, I could have been in there.
I lived in an apartment facing the Trade Centre in Jersey City, so I had an unobstructed view of the towers across the Hudson River. I lived three streets from the riverfront. So I saw everything going on that day. I didn't see the first plane to hit. It was so bright, my blinds were closed. But I heard the noise, and I went to the window and looked through the blinds and saw smoke from the North Tower. Focusing in on the smoke, it seemed very odd. And initially, I thought it was an explosion at the Windows on the World restaurant. But it just looked very odd. And anything happening to the towers and working in technology, I knew there would be an impact to us. So my first response was to call my office. And I called the first number I could think of, which was my colleague. He sat next to me. And he answered the phone immediately on speakerphone because he recognized my number. And his first words to me were, "Scott, what was that?" They'd heard it in the South Tower. And I said, "I don't know if it was an explosion, but I see smoke and flames coming out from the North Tower. I don't know if it's Windows on the World, but something's going on and probably you're going to get evacuated." And he said, "Okay, I'm going now. I'm going to see what's going on." And my instinct said to him, "Mark, just leave the building. I don't like the feel about this." And he said, "Yeah, I'm going." And he cut me off. I called him back instantly because I knew he wouldn't leave. And he shouted at me, What's the matter? And I said, "Mark, just leave. Don't put your shoes on. Just walk out the building." I said, "Okay, I'm going. And before he could sign off, another colleague overheard me. And he shouted across the office, Scott, was it a plane? And I said, I don't know, hold on. And I turned on the TV. And coincidentally, TV coverage, as I turned on the TV, went to a live shot looking from the north down to the tower. So I was then seeing it from a different angle. So on TV, I was looking from the north, and from my apartment, I was looking from the west. So I was seeing it from two angles. And on the TV, they reported it was a plane. So I said, Brian, they say it was a plane. And he said, a small jet, like a two-seater, or a big plane? And I'm seeing this big hole in the towers. And I said, Brian, I think it was a fucking great big plane. And they then cut me off. Brian didn't make it out the towers. Mark did.
Do you think there was a sort of panic and chaos going on in your offices?
I wouldn't describe it as panic. From what I understand, talking to everybody after the event, management were ushering the staff out of the building to follow emergency procedures. Emergency procedures were to go down the stairs. My colleague Mark didn't follow the emergency procedures. He used the elevator, and he was lucky he got out. Other people who used the stairs did not. Piecing together the impressions and the puzzle of what was going on, it seemed like management were ushering staff out of the building as effectively as they could, using the emergency procedures. So the majority of staff were leaving through the stairwells. Some staff left by elevator. One of my colleagues was one, and he escaped. Other people who either went by elevator or by stairwell didn't get out because they weren't quick enough. Some people managed to get out very fortunately. Some people didn't. And, you know, in some cases, we don't know what happened to these people. One of my colleagues left with another. She stopped to take off her shoes so she could run. And her colleague ran ahead. She got out. He didn't. So, you know, there were very unusual things going on. Those people who were lost, by people remembering where they were, we were able to identify what they were doing in some cases. So a couple of colleagues were actually just looking through the window. They didn't leave the building. They were looking at the other tower. They just didn't leave. Whereas other people must have been on their way out, but somehow didn't get out. Either they decided to stop and make a phone call, or they came out of the stairwell on a floor to try and take an elevator, and the delay caused them to be still in the building when the building collapsed. So, you know, the stories are very, very mixed up.
You had the phone put down on you, or you put the phone down. Did the second plane impact on, and how close was it to the offices?
It was about 8 or 10 minutes after I put the phone down on my colleagues in the building. I was still on the phone, actually, to other people, to other colleagues. I had another colleague who didn't work on that Tuesday as well. He took the day off too. And I called him for some passwords to log into systems remotely. I couldn't do it from home, so I couldn't make access. So I phoned one of my colleagues here in London, and she was able to connect to the systems, and I gave her the passwords to shut them down. We knew there was going to be a disaster recovery invoked, and therefore we were shutting everything down in preparation for that. And subsequently, she was able to remain connected to systems until the building collapsed. At the moment it collapsed is when she lost connectivity, which is kind of interesting. So I was on the phone constantly, and in fact I was on the phone with her when I saw the second plane coming. I saw it coming from my right, coming over New Jersey and over Staten Island, way off in the distance and quite high. And my brain told me this was like either a rescue mission or it was a plane full of water. And I wasn't worried about the plane coming in until the very last moment. I stopped speaking. I was on the a voicemail message to my colleague here, and I stopped speaking perhaps a second and a half, 2 seconds before the plane hit. When the noise of the plane changed distinctly, its angle changed, and it was clear it was going to hit the building. And I then, so it hit the building from the west, so it was parallel to me. The explosion went out to the east, so I didn't see much of the explosion. All I saw was the plane go into the building. So my vision of the explosion was on TV rather than from my visual. disbelief.
And was it quite close to where your offices were?
It was underneath our offices. It appeared, and subsequently I've seen the videos, but it appeared to me then too, it was slightly above the 78th lobby, perhaps 80, 82, something like that. So above the lobby, below our offices, probably the worst place for the escaping staff from our offices.
This whole thing with the power down, getting back to that, and the Port Authority, how abnormal and how unusual was that?
I'd never come across it, and I'd worked in the towers since 98. Other colleagues of mine who'd been there in 93 when there was the bombing recall similar conditions then. When the bombing happened, the power went out. Apparently, there were power downs in the towers, either totally or partially. I had never been involved in an exercise where we'd shut down systems. So there may have been power downs where, in our case, the generator was used to maintain supplies. But in terms of shutting down our systems, this was the first time that I'd been across it. And we had no, like, documentary procedure to do it. It was something we had to work on quickly.
And what about, because those events of that day have led to what is this called a war on terror, which is has really changed much of what we have come to expect around the world. There's this kind of terrorists popping up in all sorts of different countries, North Korea possibly, and other places. What is your feeling from September the 11th about that subsequent change in sort of international relations, the war on terror itself?
Well, I've got very personal opinions on that. I don't tie my personal beliefs, my political beliefs, to what I saw and witnessed on 9/11 and the weekend before, so I don't associate them. I try not to associate them. For me, I'll answer in two ways. For me, the importance of getting the question of why confirmation that there was the power down from the authorities and acknowledgement from the authorities that it did occur and an explanation for it, for me that it is a mission in itself.
Have you found that difficult then?
Very, very difficult. The 9/11 Commission didn't register it. I contacted them by email, through their website, by phone, and they've made no effort to mention it in their findings and their eventual document. I've contacted the Port Authority many times, and mostly they refuse to acknowledge me. They now deny that the power down occurred, but I know it occurred, and my colleagues know it occurred. So this is why, for me, to get it acknowledged and explained is a mission. It's a mission for me because I lost so many friends and colleagues, and I just need it explained. And it's worrying to me that this issue is not is not contained in any explanation of the events. If you're carrying out a forensics analysis of what went on 9/11, this has to be included. As when I saw the South Tower collapse, and to me, I describe it as collapsing like sand. That's how it looked to me. My gut instinct then was to say, what did we do at the weekend? And my colleagues said the same. So that is why it's critical for me to follow through up on this information. On the issue of what I think about the events of 9/11 and subsequent effects elsewhere, the war on terror, the war in Iraq, the aggression in Afghanistan, and so on and so on, I've got very strong opinions about that. I'll say that two or three days after 9/11, immediately after 9/11, we were in disaster recovery mode and going to our disaster site in New Jersey to rebuild everything. So we were working 12, 15-hour days. And two or three days after 9/11, I was driving home back to Jersey City from the site. And in Jersey City, across from the towers, there was a candlelight vigil. But instead of it being a very quiet and solemn event, it turned into a very nationalistic and patriotic event. And I found that very disturbing and ugly and frightening, and it and that's a memory that I'll carry with me. I didn't like it at all. It really affected my state and my opinion at the time.
So for anyone listening, how can they help you in your mission to get this explanation from the Port Authority? And, you know, what exactly is the information you're after, and how can people help?
I want acknowledgement that the power down occurred. I want an explanation from the Port Authority for why it happened, what was the reason for the power down. I want it explained. I want us to know the name of the contractors involved. I just want clear explanations. It's as simple as that, and I'm not getting anywhere with that mission.
Can you just remind us again exactly when these power downs occurred and who was supposed to be responsible for them?
It was on Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th of September 2001, from around 12 noon on the 8th to around 2 p.m. on Sunday the 9th. The party who were responsible for coordinating the effort were the Port Authority, the owners and leaseholders of the buildings. So everything in my company was liaised through the Port Authority. During the power down, it didn't just affect the data centre, it affected all the floors, and therefore there was no security on the doors, any of the doors, on any floor. There were no security cameras in operation. It affected literally everything in the building, and I think that is key. Another interesting sidebar, in a way, on local television networks, virtually every day they would go to cameras live on top of the World Trade Center for shots across New York Bay or across Brooklyn or across New Jersey to show the sunset or the sunrise, or if a ship was coming into harbor or if a plane was flying by. They would show live images, particularly during weather summaries or at the end of a news program. Now, those cameras were on the top of the Trade Center, and surely on an event as momentous as this, the first thing that local television would have done would be go to those cameras. And I've never known why they didn't. I've never known why those cameras were not invoked. I don't know. I don't understand that. And I want to know why. Because those cameras could be moved around and pointed down and up and so on. And it would have been, surely, the primary source of information of what was going on. I don't have an explanation for that.
Is this whole business something that's still talked about with a sort of air of mystery in your company, if you haven't had the answer to these questions? Are there other people that are also feel that there hasn't been closure?
One or two. I think there's less so now after you know, 5 years has gone by. There's still a lot of emotion involved, and for example, you may be in a meeting and somebody may say something and it may remind us of someone we worked with, and everyone will start remembering that person and so on. So there's a lot of emotion still involved, inevitably. A lot of people have now moved on, physically as well as emotionally. Some people have left the company, moved on to different jobs. Some people are still in the company but have moved on so far they don't even want to talk about 9/11. They won't go there. I have some colleagues who refuse to go back into Manhattan, and they work from home remotely because they were so traumatized by events. People have responded in different ways.
You said that you saw the South Tower falling, and it fell like sand. Did it seem to you a bit strange the way it fell? As a plane had hit the building, did it seem to be a bit strange to you?
Yeah, to me it didn't look real. It looked like a fantasy. It looked like a cartoon or a piece of film from like a Die Hard movie. It didn't look like a plane collapsing from a plane hitting it. It didn't look like a building collapsing from fire. It just seemed to disintegrate, as I say, like sand. And I didn't believe my eyes as I was watching it. I really didn't. I didn't see the second building collapse. After the first building went down, I went down to street level. I lived on the 15th floor. And I was concerned about what was going to happen to our building, so I went down to the ground level, and I couldn't see the building collapse. All I heard was the people screaming. I didn't see it collapse until I went back up to my apartment and saw the empty space with just the smoke, which was really bizarre, totally bizarre.
what sort of stages were the fires in the building at when the first tower collapsed?
From my angle, I didn't see any fire in the South Tower. From the west view, I could see no fires in the South Tower. I know on film footage, TV footage I've seen subsequently, there are clearly you can see fires from the south and the east particularly. But from my angle, from my eyesight, I could see no fires.
How does it make you feel to have seen and witnessed things that then to have that denied by the Port Authority and to really not be recognised by the 9/11 Commission, which was supposed to fully investigate these attacks?
It makes me even more determined to pursue the information, frankly. It makes me wonder, makes you wonder what's going on. When I first raised the information 3 or 4 years ago, or asked the questions 3 or 4 years ago, I was contacted by several people in my company, like patting me on the back in a way. Some other people in my company also criticised me, questioning my so-called patriotism. I'm not an American patriot, so it doesn't really make any difference to me, but you know, the response has been very diverse. But for the fact that I'm getting nowhere with the Port Authority in particular just makes me more determined to try and get the information.
There must be an explanation somewhere for this.
There must be documents, assuming they're still there, in the Port Authority that states that there is this power down from this time to this time, and the contractors are these, and there will be this many men with this equipment to do this work, and the reason we need it is this. That's what I'm looking for. If I get it, I'll be happy. Then I'll let go. Until I get it, I will not let go.